When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Dan Behrens this morning from Associated Bank and our thought leader chair. Dan, good morning. Welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate coming back.
I want to talk first about what you do there at Associated Bank. Give our listeners a thumbnail.
Sure. I'm a commercial real estate lender at Associated Bank. We finance all kinds of commercial assets, be it office, retail, industrial, multifamily.
I want to do a dive this morning in the grocery sector, and there have been a couple of interesting developments over the past couple of months in the Chicago area where grocery stores sort of commingle with the commercial real estate. Talk to you first about what's happening in Schaumburg with this Amazon grocery store. What do you know about it? What's the plan there?
Sure. We actually financed the project in Schaumburg. Actually, Amazon's announced that they're coming into a number of different locations around. As of right now, I think the only ones I'm aware of are suburban locations. But I know Amazon's announced they're opening up in Schaumburg, like you said, Naperville and Oak Lawn. You know, Amazon is kind of getting into the grocery business. It's outside of their Whole Foods flag and also outside of the Amazon Go, the smaller convenience stores. I think these are going to be, from what I hear, is traditional grocery stores. And I think it's kind of interesting, you know, with Amazon jumping in this game, I think they want to be a little more relevant in people's everyday lives as if they're not so already. But by jumping into the grocery business, I think they're able to capitalize on some recent vacancies that are have hit some of the retail areas. The one in Schaumburg that I'm aware of is they're replacing a former Toys R Us store. So I think those kind of formats, larger box that have vacated would be prime spot to relocate for an Amazon or any kind of grocer that would want to come into a neighborhood center. So obviously, grocery stores are considered essential businesses. I mean, I think one that pretty much everybody has continued to frequent during this pandemic. And I think if they can capitalize, they can really add some value to the retail real estate world that's kind of been taking a beating. And, you know, by Amazon jumping in, it's going to add some value. Grocery anchored shopping centers traditionally have a better value than just standard strip centers. And it also will help generate interest for the ancillary businesses that are also included in the in that particular center. Amazon has name recognition. It'll drive some curiosity. It'll drive traffic to that centers, which should hopefully benefit all of the tenants that are in that center.
Yeah, the Schaumburg site is at the Schaumburg Corners Shopping Center. That's at 16 East Gulf. The one in Naperville is going in an old Dominick's store. Talk to us a little bit about what's going to be different, do you think, about the Amazon store versus, let's say, a Jewel, Osco, or Mariano's?
You know, I'm not 100% certain of how the experience is going to be different. The thing that I find fascinating is they're coming into locations that are at times directly across the street from an existing Mariano's or an existing Jewel. So I think Amazon is really a reputation for not shying away from a challenge and jumping into a market kind of headfirst in a location with established grocery stores, I think is aggressive, and I think that's kind of what Amazon's business is. But, you know, I'm interested to see how it happens and how it plays out. I'm not 100% certain of what the layout or the interior offerings are going to be, but it should be interesting.
Yeah, we mentioned Mariano's there, and Mariano's has been bought by Kroger, but the guy behind Mariano's, Bob Mariano, is also talking about a new grocery store, and they are planning what he's calling a next-generation grocery store in the Lakeview neighborhood in Lincoln Park in Chicago. Talk to us a little bit about that and how that sort of adds to the excitement in commercial real estate where grocery stores are concerned.
Personally, I really like the former Mariano's, the experience of the store. But I think once the Kroger brand bought the Mariano's concept, it really watered down the concept, at least for me personally. I think Bob Mariano has he's been doing this a long time. I think these new grocery stores are going to be named after, I think they're called Dom's Market, named after the former owner of the Dominick's chain of stores as well. You know, it's going to be interesting. I think Bob Mariano knows what he's doing. He's kind of an old school grocer. Fortunately, I think with his concept of experiential shopping and in-person dining and open concept kitchens, they may not play out all that well in, you know, given the current COVID environment. But I think if someone's going to put a new successful grocery store and, you know, shopping experience, Bob Mariano's probably the right person to do it.
You mentioned that Associated Bank is involved in the funding of the Amazon stores. When a group like this comes to you and has their idea, what is it that is the winning part of that idea that gives a bank like Associated the green light to move forward on it?
I mean, it comes down to a number of factors. I mean, economics are one, obviously, assuming Amazon or any kind of grocer is paying enough rent to help, you know, service the debt on a center like that. But also, a lot of it is the ancillary business that, you know, the other tenants that are within the shopping center. I mean, we're going to look at, you know, even all the way down to the small tenants. If something happens, if one of the tenants, you know, for some reason can't stay open, or if they're at risk of maybe a larger chain filing bankruptcy. I mean, those are all factors that we're going to include and make sure that, you know, it's a sound shopping center and one that should be able to withstand kind of long-term normalized economic cycles.
There's another story, Dan, that I thought was pretty interesting out there. And since we've been talking some about the pandemic here and its impact on some of this stuff, there was a story about one of the hottest jobs that's emerging in commercial real estate. It has really nothing to do with real estate itself. It's an expert in infectious diseases. So what are the companies that are involved in this hiring doctors now to help guide their decisions?
I mean, I think it certainly makes sense. If I'm a large-scale office landlord or a retail landlord, whatever the case is, I'm certainly going to have somebody on my staff that's going to be able to give me direction what the best way to retrofit or outfit a new building would be. I mean, when we talk about office buildings, I mean, people spend a vast amount of time at their office space. And if they're not comfortable, if they think that they're not safe there, somebody else will find a way to make a space safe enough for that tenant to go. I think an infectious disease expert is probably pretty handy, especially given the current environment. But I think the way office buildings are going, I mean, you know, we've been trending towards more of a anti-contact society in general. I mean, if you look in just a bathroom in an office building, you know, or anywhere really, the faucets are now touch-free. You know, you have the hands-free or touch-free dryers. And an interesting article I read about a story in the West Loop here, there's a building under development now. I think it's just mid-rise 12-story office building. But as soon as the pandemic hit, the developer decided, hey, we're going to jump out ahead of this. We're going to retrofit this building. So they're starting to use foot-activated elevator buttons. I mean, I had to stop into our office, and, you know, they're only allowing 4 people max per elevator. I mean, it's going to make for a very long elevator trip or even elevator wait for certain tenants who just can't access the elevator if there's only 4 people allowed. And we're talking, you know, thousands of people that are inside an office building at any one time at 5 o'clock when people need to leave. If there's only 4 people allowed in the elevator, it's going to make for a very long wait.
Yeah.
So the office landlords are really going to need to pick up as many experts as they can to kind of figure out a solution to how they're going to get tenants back in their buildings.
So, yeah. The infectious disease expert. I mean, we've talked on this program before about how companies are moving away from the open office plan to back to cubicles. But it's more than that. It's what kind of ventilation to provide, what kind of, not necessarily hand sanitizer, but where to place stations, medical stations, and plexiglass, if you're putting up plexiglass. All of those decisions would be nice to be able to make with a doctor on staff.
Yeah, absolutely. Even it comes down to paint. I mean, there are paint companies that specialize in making antimicrobial paint that infectious diseases die after a certain amount of time, which would be beneficial, you know, even for surfaces and bathrooms and just a general office space in general.
Dan, I'd like to get your impression from a view, let's say at 30,000 feet, of how the pandemic is impacting commercial real estate. I know we've talked about a couple of things here, but, you know, in some cities where the pandemic has been hitting worse than others, it's been having an impact on residential real estate, with people maybe putting off moves or moving back to the suburbs away from cities. What are going to be the impacts, do you think, moving forward?
You know, Steve, I'm not 100% equipped to comment on the residential, but I think generally, people I hear leaving urban centers, moving out to suburban areas that have larger, you know, call it backyard space, or not as nearly as dense. I think that there are still transactions happening for that space, but specifically for commercial real estate, it remains to be seen. I think office is still going to be one. I think it's very interesting. It's just like we just talked about, how, you know, people are going to have to solve a problem around how they are able to get their tenants and their tenants' workers into the building and out of the building in a safe fashion and remain safe while they're on site. I think retail is obviously one of the hardest hit, along with hotels, but there are some very solid retailers that can withstand things like this. You know, from what I hear from my apartment developers, the turnover is still pretty active. I think the thing that surprised me most was multifamily. The retention rates, usually around, call it 75%, that an existing tenant in an apartment building is going to renew their lease for another year. But I think that number is dropping now. He said closer to, call it 45-50%. But that means there's activity. So there's other people that are leaving one building to go to another. I think multifamily will be a fine asset class to maintain. And obviously industrial has really been able to blossom in this time with the increase in e-commerce and logistics companies. People still need to move goods and services, and industrial's kind of been the shining bright spot with this pandemic.
When you hear a story about, let's say, Gap not being able to pay their rent for several months, or I think I heard one of the mall operators has not been able to pay rent for a couple of months either, what does that tell you about the health of the commercial real estate market, though?
I mean, it's pretty obvious. I think there's some warning signs out there. I think, you know, when large mall owners aren't able to pay their debt service or because their tenants aren't paying rent, it's a really unfortunate situation, and it's one that's, you know, a lot of people are going to have to be involved with to solve the problems that mall might be experiencing, or even, I guess, really malls across the country in general are experiencing. They're going to need to come up with ways to call it redevelop or reconcept, you know, some of the vast vacant space that former anchor tenants were occupying. And, you know, with the bankruptcies now that are coming, they seem to be coming once every day or even every other day, new retailers that are filing bankruptcy. It's unfortunate, but I think, you know, some of the larger retail landlords, mall owners, they have the deep pockets and the understanding and the wherewithal to be able to redevelop what might be a struggling mall into something that might be a little more beneficial for the surrounding communities.
Would more government stimulus help in any of these areas?
I'd certainly think government stimulus would help, you know, people paying their mortgage or people paying their rent. I think that there's still some PPP funds available for commercial tenants, but I think from what I hear, the requests for PPP funds has dried up substantially. So I think we're okay in that situation, but certainly more on the individual level to keep people in their homes, keep people in their apartments. I would say that would absolutely be beneficial in some cases, maybe keep people shopping or spending money that, you know, will help keep the economy moving.
Dan, always a good conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Steve. They can call me anytime, 312-544-4657. Or my email address is daniel@associatedbank.com.